Well, we are continuing our study in the book of Titus, and we are in chapter 2. We dealt with verse 1 last week, and in verse 2 and 3, he begins speaking about a very important topic that I think is good for us to address and recognize the importance of. So let's go ahead and read our text this morning, and then we'll have a word of prayer after that. Titus chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have brought us to this place at this time to learn from your word, to understand how valuable wisdom and knowledge is. Now, Lord, I pray that you would give us your thoughts today. As we enter into your word, I pray that you would guide us to how you would have us to live in light of what you've taught us today. And Lord, we pray that you would allow us to not be distracted, to be taken away by our own thoughts or by our own worries, but help us to concentrate today on what you have for us to know and how you would have us to live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, in Titus chapter 2, he begins talking about a healthy church. And he begins talking to Titus. He says, you don't be like those other false teachers who do all those other horrible things. They are not fit for the kingdom because they don't live out what they say they believe. And they believe the wrong things. He tells Titus to you, make sure that you are speaking soundly, speaking the doctrine of the gospel clearly. And then he moves to a discussion of the older women and the older men. And next week we'll get into the younger women and the younger men, and then into employers and employees. And as we go through this chapter, he's really hitting on all of the parts of the church. And he wants the church to be healthy. But I want it to be very clear, he started with the older men and the older women. And I believe that's important because I believe the health of a church is fully dependent upon the older generations who have grown in their faith, passing on what they know, passing on good, sound doctrine to those who are younger, coming on behind them. It is essential that we value those who are older. When we look into Titus chapter 2, there are in each of these sections, there are things and purposes for which these things are to be done. The first purpose is in chapter 5, where it says, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. So we pay attention to what Titus is telling us because we don't want God's word to be covered in dishonor. Titus 2:8, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. So that there's not a reason why people can say, well, I don't go to church because fill in the blank. And then in verse 10, he says, so that they will adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in every respect. So it will be a good example of the doctrine that we say we believe. So those are the purposes for all of these things that he's prescribing for the older men and women, the younger men and women, for employer-employee relationships. All of those are essential in the life of God's church. So as we begin this morning, he begins talking about the older men. The older men. And I want to draw your attention to an incredible piece of poetry. And it's just such an incredible reflection of reality. And as we read Ecclesiastes 12, 1 to 6, you'll see some of the pictures that he draws about what happens to us as we get a little bit older. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, when you will say, I have no delight in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. In the day that the watchmen of the house tremble and mighty men stoop, the grinding ones stand idle because they are few, and those who look through windows grow dim. Are you starting to see this symbolism? The watchmen, the arms and the legs begin to tremble. Mighty men stoop down. The grinding ones stand idle because they are few, speaking about teeth. Those who look through windows grow dim, speaking about the eyesight. And the doors on the street are shut as the sound of the grinding mill is low. And one will arise at the sound of the bird. Does it become obvious that it's harder and harder to sleep in the older and older you get? And all the daughters of song will sing softly. It doesn't matter how loud something is. You always have to kind of perk up to get a good grip of what's going on. Furthermore, men are afraid of a high place and of terrors on the road. You know what? I've noticed that as I've gotten a little older, I'm not near as comfortable on a ladder. And the older you get, the more fun it seems to stay at home. The almond tree blossoms. What color are almond blossoms? They're white. I see a little white out there. The grasshopper drags himself along, and the caperberry is ineffective. For man goes to his eternal home while mourners go about in the street. Remember him before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed. The pitcher by the well is shattered and the wheel at the cistern is crushed. Remember the Lord in the days of your youth. Now, I think we can all agree that getting old is not for sissies. It is tough, because things don't work the way they once did, and things that were easy aren't anymore, and things that you used to could, you can't. So, so as we relate to what is going on here, Paul is saying, look toward the older men. Leviticus 19:32 says, you shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged, and you shall revere your God. I am the Lord. So it is something that we should be involved in, to honor those who have earned respect through their longevity, their ability to go through life and, number one, have survived young adulthood, but also to have learned some things along the way. And we have a responsibility, and unfortunately in our culture, that responsibility is often neglected, to honor the aged. Our culture is obsessed with youth. There is a billion-dollar industry of making us look younger. But what God is saying is that the aged, those who have years behind them, are to be honored. They are to be revered. Job 12:12 said, wisdom is with aged men, with long life is understanding. It's important that we value those who have experience. It's important that we not just think, well, they had their shot, now it's my turn. Or think, well, they don't know anything. But hey, just because somebody might not be able to write code on a computer doesn't mean they don't know a thing or three. they have wisdom, knowledge, and it's always been an incredible sadness to me when someone with an accomplished life who's lived to a ripe old age goes home to be with the Lord, the amount of knowledge and wisdom that left this earth is immense. And you know what the best time to take advantage of knowledge is? It's not after the funeral. It's now. You know, I pay attention to the way people act at funerals. And everybody always seems to have the same sentiment. They always remember what the last thing he said to them or they said to them was. But the other thing is, I wish we would have had more time. You know what? We've all got the same amount of time. The only question is how we use it. 1 Corinthians 15:43 says, "Become sober-minded as you ought and stop sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." Paul writes this to a church that is completely off the rails when it comes to their conduct within and without the church. And Paul is looking to the older men to set the example for what it looks like to become sober-minded, to become able to dispense truth. And that's what we're talking about this morning, is distributing doctrine. Now, obviously, as Paul says that Titus is supposed to be faithful in preaching the word, don't let anyone ignore him. So preachers have a job. But I want you to realize that it goes a whole lot quicker if everyone is involved in distributing doctrine and you don't have to wait till Sunday morning to get it. If everyone is sharing the truth that God has revealed to you with those who are coming along beside and behind. You see, I think we have this terrible idea that when God reveals a truth to us, that belongs to us. And we're just so thankful that God showed us something. I don't believe he showed it to you for you. I believe he shows us truth to share with those that are coming alongside of us, that those are becoming along behind us. We have to be active in distributing doctrine. Don't be satisfied that the church is where you learn about spiritual stuff. And if you need to know how to change the oil or spark plugs in the truck or whatever, I'll be glad to help you with that. But if you need spiritual instruction, you have to go to church. Spiritual instruction happens as you're changing the oil, while you're baking the cake, while you're cleaning the house, while you're on the way to work. Spiritual instruction should be happening every day in our lives. What you have learned in your spiritual journey is not for you. It should start with you, but if it dies with you, that's a great disservice to the rest of God's church, because he wants you to share what he's shown you with others. The older men, he begins by saying they are to be temperate. Temperate has the idea of, and literally means not drunk. But the idea he's talking about is not so much not being inebriated. It's more about a conduct, a method of mind, restrained in conduct, exercising self-control. It has the idea of one who holds himself in. That person who has that age behind them, they have been down a lot of roads that they can come alongside of somebody younger that's at the beginning of that road and say, you don't need to go down there. There's a cliff at the end. There's nothing good. You don't have to go down that road. I went down that road. I went there so you don't have to. Listen to where I've been and know that you don't have to make those mistakes. But unfortunately, so many times we see somebody doing something wrong and we simply talk about them instead of to them. And I understand, we might get rejected. They might not take it well. But you know what? If they don't take it well and later pay attention and avert certain difficulty, if not destruction, wasn't it worth it? God gave you those failures in your life, not just so you could learn a lesson, but so you could share that lesson with others as well. Be sober-minded. The next thing he points out for older men is to be dignified. That's the idea of being appropriate, befitting behavior, one who is worthy of respect. Now, there's a lot of older men who have respect just by walking in the room. There are some older men who don't have respect because of the way they've walked in the past. So we need to live dignified lives over a long period of time so that we can distribute doctrine based upon the authority of a life well lived. It's essential that we live a dignified life worthy of respect. Next, he talks about an older man being sensible, not just silly all the time. Has the idea of being accurate and correct. To let one's mind guide the body. That's the idea of being sensible. To not be ruled by your passions, to not be ruled by your wants, but to let your mind inform your conduct. And finally, he says we are to be sound in faith. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith it is impossible to please God. So we're to be sound in our faith, our understanding of the truth of God's gospel. We're to be sound in love. And love is a woefully misunderstood word in our culture because most of the time when the Bible uses the word love, and by the way, there are four different words in the original Greek for our one word love. So when in John 3:16, he writes, for God so loved the world. What did he do next? He gave. And that is an incredible picture of what God-like agape love is. It is a love that gives, not seeking something in return. It's something that seeks the best of the one loved. Not just to be nice and get along, not just to do something nice so that they'll do something nice in return. A love that is others-focused, a love that gives, is what he's talking about. They are to be sound in love. And thirdly, they are to be sound in perseverance. That has the idea of steadfastness. Perseverance is the idea of being able to bear up underneath of pressure, of difficulties. Those are the leaders, the aged, older men, who have a responsibility, not just for their own conduct, but for the distribution of the lessons that God has taught them through life to those who are coming behind. And that is something that I think we do poorly to take the time to invest in someone younger. Now, I understand it takes somebody who's willing to listen for you to invest in somebody that's younger. But sometimes you have to take the initiative to say, hey, you want to come over for a cup of coffee? I want to talk to you about a few things. We have the idea that because we're not perfect, that we don't have any business telling anybody else how they should live their life. No, we're not perfect, but we know the one who is. And we have God's perfect word that hopefully we've been investing our life in to understand more of, to be able to distribute doctrine. Don't worry, younger guys, we'll get to you a little bit later. The next group he talks about is the older women. And I don't know about all churches, but where would this church be without the older women of this church? And this goes back generations. Just the ones who were the planners and the providers and the getter-dunners, they immense props go to the older women of Dry Creek Bible Church. But Paul has some instruction for Titus regarding the older women. The first thing is that they are to be reverent, devoted to the proper expression of religious belief. And he says the same thing basically to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2 verses 9 and 10. He says, likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair, gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women making a claim to godliness. There is so much to be said for a woman who is so confident and content in her position in Christ as a child of His that she doesn't have to have the latest fashions. She doesn't have to have the hairdo that goes on for days. She can simply be confident that because she is a child of God, she doesn't need the approval of people. She doesn't need the approval of men. She has the approval of God. And as a woman who makes a claim to godliness, it makes a difference how you dress. It makes a difference how you live. The next thing he talks about is not being malicious gossips. Now, I don't want you to be confused. I'm going to spend a little time on this, but this isn't just a women thing. This is a church thing. This is, and it's very interesting, the Greek word for malicious is diablos, having to do with evil, having to do with Satan. So this is important for us to realize. We don't want anything to do with something that is diablos. We don't want anything to do with something that is malicious. And gossip is malicious. There was a situation that Paul addressed in the book of Philippians where he wrote, I urge Euodia and Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Now, I don't know what happened to these two women in this church that caused them to be at odds, to cause them to be in conflict with one another. But he says, live in harmony. And then he says, indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. These women were workers. They were beneficial. They were helpers alongside of Paul for the gospel. And he finds out that they're at each other's throats. What do you want to bet that words were involved in that situation? What do you want to bet it had to do with what somebody said? Proverbs says a mountain of things about gossip. In Proverbs 11, verses 12 to 13, he who despises his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding keeps silent. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter. Just because you know something doesn't mean you have to tell something. I always forget how it goes, but Tammy's always telling our kids, is it good? Is it helpful? Is it kind? All of the lots of good words that go along with her instruction there. But basically, it's just kind of a little filter to go through to say, should you really be talking about that? Is it beneficial to them that you're talking about? If it's not beneficial, why are you talking about them? Why aren't you talking to them? Proverbs 20, verse 19, he who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip. If they talk to you about someone else, they are going to talk about you to someone else. Be careful. I hope that when we have an opportunity to participate in gossip, instead of agreeing and going along for the ride, try and think of some reason why what they're accusing this person of might not have been done for that reason. Something positive that you can contribute to that situation. Because if you are complicit in the gossip, you are a part of the problem, even if you're just listening. Another admonition of my wise wife. Just walk away. You don't have to participate when somebody's running somebody else down. You don't have to be a part of it. Proverbs 16, 28, a perverse man spreads strife and a slanderer separates intimate friends. How many times have friendships been destroyed by what someone else has said? Proverbs 18, 7 and 8, a fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are the snare of the soul. The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. What descriptive language, huh? The words of a whisperer. Somebody slides up next to you and says, hey, you know what I heard? Woo! Our ears perk up then, don't they? Don't be a part of it. That is an infection. That is malicious. He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles. Another passage says, where there are many words, sin is also present. In 1 Timothy 5:13, Paul gives the same advice regarding gossip to Timothy. At the same time, speaking of, I think widows is the context here, they also learn to be idle. They go from house to house and not merely idle, but also gossips and busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention. Be careful. how you go about your conversations. Are they distributing doctrine, or are your conversations distributing destruction? We have to be very careful about the words that we speak, because a little word can cause a huge fire, as James tells us. Proverbs also has great advice regarding gossip. For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, contention quiets down. A lot of the conflicts between people have nothing to do with the people. It has something to do with somebody going back and forth betweening, spreading lies and half-truths. When there's lack of wood, the fire goes out. I think we could all come alongside the psalmist, as he said in Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Another admonition for the older women, and again, this is not a women issue. This is a everybody issue. Not enslaved to much wine. We talked about the issue of alcohol in regards to the requirements for leadership in God's church. And as we talked about before, alcohol cannot biblically be forbidden. I wish it could be. I can't imagine that if you just stacked up the devastation and the broken families and the tragedies that were directly related to alcohol, how tall that stack would be. I can't say from Scripture that it is evil to drink alcohol. I can't say you shouldn't ever do that. But for me, that's been my decision, that I will never even attempt it because of the devastation that it causes worldwide. And notice he says that they are not to be enslaved to much wine. It doesn't say that they should not ever partake. So as we talk about the issue of alcohol, I want you to do some inventory in your life. What's the purpose? Is it a benefit? And is something that has destroyed millions of lives worth the gamble? The last thing he says, the older women are to be involved in teaching what is good. Ladies, teach what you know. Just by raise of hand, how many ladies in here know how to make jelly? Man, I love you. That is a beautiful talent. And it is not to be compared with what you can get off a shelf. What you can do needs to be passed on. Teach. Now that has a very practical, real world application, but how much more beneficial is God's living word than jelly? How much more beneficial is it for us to be able to communicate God's truth to the next generation? Women are to be teaching. And in particular, as we'll talk about next week, they'll be teaching the younger women. As we've examined God's word today, we recognize that there is no retirement age for the believer. You never retire from the Christian life. You've never done your job, and now it's the younger people's turn. You have the most experience. You have the most knowledge. You should be the most mature among the church family. If you remove yourself from ministry, from teaching, from communicating what God has taught to you to others, God's church is in trouble. The older generation is essential. And that's why he talks about it first. We need to be a part of communicating, distributing doctrine, not just receiving it.